Another day is underway.
Live from just around the corner, this is Lee Faulkner.
And welcome to the Listener App Catch Up Podcast for our show. And coming up, well, we will revisit a Friday Foodies. We've got some great stuff in there for you about our local food scene. We'll hear from Jeff McDonald. In the lead up to the council election, of course, there's been plenty of talk about a couple of very big issues facing the Toowoomba Regional Council. And he spoke out about that on the show just recently. We'll have the whole interview there. We'll also have the second round of the Smelly Boot for you and the wrap up of our Toowoomba Decides Forum. But we started with the full unedited chat that I had with singing songwriting superstar out of Brisbane who was here for Meatstock, Amy Shepherd. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, you, alongside your siblings, who happen to share the exact same names as my kids, George and Emma.
No way.
Yes. And if we'd had a third, would you believe we're going to call her Amy?
No.
Yes. I've got an 18-year-old and a 15-year-old, George and Emma. So before you guys were around, we'd already picked up on that. Yeah, I know.
Wow.
I can't believe some of the synchronicity around you guys. Anyway, you were on stage at Las Vegas for the NRL. What was that like?
Oh, that was amazing. We played on Fremont Street. So it's basically the Times Square of Vegas.
Yeah.
But just to see the sea of NRL jerseys, all the Aussies came down to watch us perform. And there would have been about, I reckon, 15 to 20,000 people that just came to watch us perform. And it was just magic.
That's incredible. So I can only imagine when you first heard about it. So they want to book you for the NRL for Las Vegas. You'd be like, what? What are you talking about? You mean Bris Vegas? No, the actual Las Vegas.
Las Vegas. Yeah, it was such an incredible opportunity. We were so excited to be there. It was so much fun.
Okay. Your new single is out and your new album, and it's all around, it's all country music. A couple of things around that. First of all, branching out as a solo artist after obviously having such great success with your siblings as the band Shepherd. Was there a bit of trepidation around that, or was this something that you'd always sort of had in the back of your mind?
It was always in the back of my mind. I learned how to write music when I was listening to country, and I learned how to write country music. I think the first song I learned to play on guitar was Country Home, Take Me Home, John Denver.
Oh,
and,
wow.
So I've always had a love for country music, but obviously Shepherd just happened naturally. I started collaborating with my brother, and then my sister joined the band, and we just went down that pop direction, which, I mean, obviously has been a huge success, is a huge success. It's still going, and we're onto our fourth album nearly, which is crazy. But I've always had just the itch to get into country and write country music. And even when I sing, I have like a bit of a yodel and a twang, and George has to pull me up on it every now and then. So I got sick of him telling me what to do, and I wrote a country song back in 2019, specifically just to test the waters to see if it was any good. And I sent it to my manager. I sent it to Casey Chambers, who's a friend, and she was like, this is amazing. And Chuggy, my manager, was like, this is great. You're going to Nashville. So I went to Nashville and I wrote a bunch of songs. And then I released my debut EP, Nothing But Wild, in 2022. And it went to number one on the ARIA chart. So that was just like a huge nod to be like, yep, you're doing the right thing here. So since then, we've moved to Nashville and we keep releasing singles, and it's been a lot of fun.
Well, Overthinking is the latest single, and it is brilliant. And you really do suit the country style, but obviously it's been around in your music right from the word go, as you say, John Denver.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always been wonderful, strong female influences when it comes to country music. What were some of yours?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so being a child of the 90s, I really loved Leanne Rimes and Trisha Yearwood.
Yes.
Dolly, of course. She's just an icon. And these days, I'm really loving Lainey Wilson. And there's just so many great. And I love how pop now is sort of infiltrating into country.
Yes.
I think that's really exciting. And that's obviously a huge opportunity for me being between both worlds. I'm just so excited for where country is going at the moment.
It's amazing. I was sort of introduced to it a bit late. I grew up in Sydney and very much around the rock scene of the 80s and all of that sort of stuff. But my wife is from Western Queensland. So, over the last 25 years, I've been well and truly indoctrinated or educated, whatever I like to say. And it's all been around the country. We often laugh and say this is not, these days, watching the latest top 50 country songs, this is not her dad's country. Things have changed, haven't they?
Oh, yeah, they have. And it's really exciting. I think it's more inclusive. I think a lot of people are realizing that country isn't just one thing. Mm. It's such a rich culture. And it's got, you know, you've got bluegrass, but you've also got country pop and you've got the Americana. It's fun. And the country audiences are great. You know, live music, real instrument, storytelling. What's not to love?
It's absolutely brilliant. Before we came on to talk, I was talking to you about my daughter following on social media and your body positivity messages, and it is very, very wonderful to see. And I know that you're involved in the documentary Embrace Kids, directed by Taryn Brumford, who we've had on the show from her previous doco, which was wonderful. And it's great to see you really, you know, putting that message out there for our young girls in particular.
Yeah, so Taryn is such a good friend of mine now. We've become buddies, and I just love what she does. I saw the Embrace documentary, the original one. I just thought, like, it really moved me and changed my perspective. And I was like, wow, this is everything that I've been feeling in one documentary. And so, obviously, I had been posting my Kiss My Fat Ass content all about body positivity and embracing the skin you're in. And when I saw that documentary, I was like, this is it. Everybody needs to see this. So I messaged her and we connected. And she said, oh, actually, I'm working on Embrace Kids for obviously the younger generation, so we can really make a change before it gets too late. Because, you know, once those messages of self-hate or just, you know, body image issues come in, it's really hard to change perspective on that.
Yes.
The way you feel about yourself. So if we can get kids at a young age, I think it really just makes a huge impact. So she asked me to be in the documentary, and of course I jumped at the opportunity. So that's one of my proudest works, being in that documentary.
Well, that's wonderful to hear. I can tell you, as a father of a teenage daughter, it is great, as I say, to see somebody pushing that wonderful body positivity image. It certainly makes a very big impact out there. Amy, it's been an absolute thrill to talk to you, and a pleasure. And I can't wait for you to be here in our beautiful Garden City again to rock the stage at Meatstock. Looking forward to hearing your country set there, and all the very best with the upcoming albums.
Thank you so much. I'm so looking forward to this weekend, and I'll see you there.
Well, let's be honest, you cannot get any more Australian than the good old meat pie. And today we've got some of the best freshly baked pies right here in the studio to taste test, because you know what this is, my favourite time of the week, where we get to talk and taste food with our good friend Kristen O'Brien from Dine Darling Downs. Good morning.
Good morning, Lee. How are you going today?
Oh, can't wait to tuck into those pies. Come on, let's get on with it. Enough chat.
Oh, they do. They're at Pie Day, Friday Pie Day. You've got to love that. These are from Miller's Gourmet Meats in Campbell Street. So g'day to Jim, Keenan and the team down there. They're famous for these pies. Let's face it, they cook them up fresh every Friday morning, and we're lucky enough to try them today in the studio.
Love a Friday Pie Day. So we've got a few different ones that we've got here to tuck in. I've got to just start, I think, with just the classic chunky beef, because I think we start there and then work our way up from there. So producer Rob's also here. You want to grab a little chunky beef?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Look at that. I mean, I've cut this into quarters.
Yeah.
And it's not running anywhere. Like, the meat is solid in the pie.
Absolutely.
So if you're eating this truckies on the road, you're not going to have it all down the front of you. You're going to have it in your mouth where it belongs. The pastry looks fantastic.
Wait till you try it. Oh my goodness, yeah. Just too good. And the aroma in the studio at the moment, the pie, the baked pies just smell so good.
You know what I think, Robbie? I said there's a very big difference between the way a butcher makes a pie and the way a baker makes a pie. because look at the meat in this thing.
Yeah,
wow.
Exactly. The one I just tried, Lee, is the sweet potato mash. Oh, my goodness. It's the beef at the base of the pie and then sweet potato mash on top. That is probably my absolute favourite, I think.
That is absolutely fantastic. I'm loving that. As I say, I love the golden crunchy pastry. That is just beautiful. So some of the real popular ones, cheese and bacon and beef cheeks in red wine.
Exactly. That's right up our alley. And there's also the mushy peas, which is absolutely delicious. What have you got, Robbie? The sausage rolls. So Robbie's trying the sausage rolls as well.
Oh, look at the layer of mushy pea on this, would you?
Isn't that fantastic?
Oh, my goodness.
Wait till you try it.
Oh.
I know. No words.
Isn't that beautiful?
I know. So here's an age-old question, guys.
Okay.
Do you have sauce with pies? Yes or no? And if yes, is it tomato or barbecue?
Well, I think it comes down to the pie.
Yeah.
So when you've got a pie that's got this much flavour, that's been seasoned this beautifully, that's been cooked the way this has, why would you want to spoil it with sauce?
I couldn't. I could not put sauce on one of these pies.
I think you're only putting them on the old-fashioned meat pie, the old dog's eye.
Come on, we've all had a servo pie.
You've got to have them every now and again. And, yeah, if you've got one of them, you've got to put sauce on it. Robbie?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah.
But you don't need sauce on these pies. Mm. So, yes, these are available every Friday. So the team cook these up. You can get down to Miller's and pick up a pie. They even do family pies. So instead of cooking on a Friday night, you can pick up a family pie
and take that
home for the family.
All right. I know that Keenan also sets up the big Weber smoker out the front of the butcher shop. And the aroma there is just amazing. Lamb, beef, pork straight out of the smoker. Just before we give the final details there, I do just need to try one of my favourites, which is a sausage roll. If I'm going into anywhere that's got bakery goods, I'm going for the sausage roll.
And?
Oh, wow.
Oh, Lee, you know what else you have to try? Mm-hmm. The curry pie.
Okay.
Try the curry pie.
Oh.
It's a family favourite. We just have to, we cannot go there without getting a curry pie. That's another beauty. Are you going to try that one, Robbie?
Is this one here?
Yep.
That's the curry.
I'll give this a go. The sausage roll is
incredible.
We love a good pie tasting.
It smells fantastic.
It's kind of, they're very gourmet. I guess it is a gourmet butcher shop, so we expect them to be good, but you really cannot fault this. This is a gourmet pie. Next level, you could eat these, get these in a restaurant and be super happy with the quality. They're just absolutely superb. And of course, they also have ready-made meals. They have, on Wednesdays, they do roast meals as well. So you get roast meals with vegetables. You can pre-order a roast dinner for the family as long as you phone ahead. So absolutely brilliant what they have on offer there at Miller's for busy people, busy families, pies, roast dinners, ready cooked meals. I was down there this morning. They've got lasagna, they've got potato bake, all ready made. You just go and grab it.
Beautiful. Miller's Gourmet Meats, 36 Campbell Street. Get out and say good day. Friday Pie Day. Tell them we sent you and have a chat to Jim and the team there. Another brilliant local business. We love you guys and your pies and sausage rolls. Wow, that is next level. No doubt about it. Enjoy your Friday Pie Day. And don't forget, you want to know what's happening around our culinary scene, dinedarlingdowns.com.au. Social media pages right here. Friday Foodies every Friday with Kristen O'Brien, who's always going to be our best friend when she brings in a haul like this. Thank you.
Thanks. Have a great weekend.
The mayor of the region is Jeff McDonald. He joins me in the studio this morning. Mate, obviously, these two issues have really sort of blown up over the last week or so in particular, and there's been a bit of talk about them on particularly social media. Let's start with the railway parklands. Is it the case that the council has scrapped plans to go ahead with anything with regard to the railway parklands at the moment?
Look, Lee, thanks, and thanks for the opportunity to be on. Yeah, I just very quickly want to thank all those people that raised money last night for Protea Place, Sleeping Out, you know, over $130,000, and it just showcases another example of how we come together as a community. So hats off to all of those, and thank you to Protea Place for what they do. The railway parklands and priority development area, and we really should be probably talking about this more holistically as the railway precinct, because it's more than a parklands. So back in April 2019, many will remember that stage one of the parklands, as it was referred to, was the opening of the Goodshed. 130-year-old Goodshed refurbishment, which was funded equally, $5 million by local council, by Toowoomba Regional Council, and $5 million from the state government.
Mm-hmm.
It was a $10 million project. That was signalling, if you like, put a flag in the ground to say, you know, we're underway. And this is a long-term project. We're underway, and that the Goodshed was the catalyst, if you like, to then develop the parklands. So later that year, City Deals was spoken about. And City Deals is a combination of three levels of government, local, state and federal. There was a case put forward that for us to progress the parklands, and there has been, and it's been out in the public, a schematic look or a feel of what that could look like, and it looks spectacular. And we need to be aspirational as a community. But it then took a further 3 years to get to Canberra to actually sign a city deal, or to encourage a city deal, I should say. So 3 years passed. Of course, course, during that time, we also had the start of COVID. We've also seen the pressures on housing, and therefore, you know, priorities have changed for levels of government.
And Crestbrook Dam, the upgrade with Dam, the timing now of
that's
that.
Right. So 2021, the Canberra trip from Councillor Mayor South East Queensland, of which our former Mayor Councillor Antonio was the deputy chair, were down there. Now, if we go back a little bit more in history, the outer circulating road, which is Victoria Street Extension, the Premier at the time, Campbell Newman, was in town, and they were talking about how this would go. And the discussion then took place between the Chair of Infrastructure, Carol Taylor, and the Mayor and Campbell Newman and Jeff Seeney at the time. And they started to speak about the railway and what that could look like, and urban development, really invigorate the CBD. And that's where the goods shed came up as an opportunity, and therefore some land. So this is going back some time, you know, this is going back to 2016 or even prior. So let's get back to where we are today. July of last year. So July of last year, only 7 months ago, or 8 months ago now, a city deal implementation plan was launched. As again, that's three-way, local, state and federal. There were two projects in the city deals out of about 30 projects for our region. Two projects, one of which was the Railway Parklands, and the second of which was the World Camp Entertainment Precinct. Now, the Railway Parklands secured funding, three-way funding, $5 million, a further $5 million from local government, $10 million from state, $10 million from federal. That was July of last year for the implementation plan. Now, of course, the pressures of housing, which I've mentioned earlier, have compounded the need for more housing right across the nation, and we're no different to that. What is interesting about the precinct, the railway precinct and the priority development area, that it takes in Russell Street, it takes in Ruthven Street, heads up Chalk Drive, and takes in what is now, and we've seen the development, which is a magnificent development, looks like, and the gasworks site, and then hooks back down to Ruthven Street, along to Bridge Street, up Bridge to Mort, and does that full area. So it's a large area, of which council really only have the goods shed. That's the footprint, and a little bit of parking around the outside. So the land that's been spoken about around housing, Toowoomba Regional Council doesn't have land for housing in that area. The state government, through DTMR, Department of Transport and Main Roads, and Queensland Rail, they own the majority of that land there, and that's the land that would be suitable potentially for housing.
Okay.
But more so, the parklands. The Good Shed was stage one, Parklands was mooted to stage two. That's the catalyst then to bring in private enterprise to build housing in that priority development area. So we should be referring to this as the railway precinct, and the Parklands is one. Priorities have changed. Priorities have changed because of those couple of reasons, COVID and because of housing issues. For us locally, and you mentioned earlier, our priority is clearly focused on the delivery in the next 19 months of the largest project this council has ever seen, a $270 million project. The state government are fully aware of that. That's our number one key priority to get funding. The federal government are fully aware of that. That's our number one project. We can't lose sight of that. There's plenty of things we can have moving along steadily on the side, but our focus needs to be clearly on making sure that our ratepayers don't have a $270 million bill that they need to fund. So, look, there's been a lot of discussions around milestones met. At the moment, we have no milestones because we're unaware of what this federal funding can be used for because of the priority of change with housing. So there's a bit of discussion, and my encouragement to the new council after March 16 is to make sure we get federal, state and local bureaucrats and representatives together, and let's nut this out. We've got an opportunity. It's a massive opportunity there for renewal of our region. Beautiful space, but it's over the next 10, 20 years. It was never spoken about over the next 5 years.
Okay. All right.
Clear things up here. What went out was a desire for us to be, you know, really be a nationally significant mountain biking place. Yeah. That's what we need to be. And we certainly are on the state level, but to get to that national and international level, there's a certain number of kilometres of trails you need, and a variety and what have you. And we'd had a plan done up, and that plan was fitted all the things. We went out to, we secured some funding from the federal government at the time, which was called the Better Building Better Regions Fund.
Yeah, yes.
And we secured some funding there from the federal government, about $3.3 million. All this funding is tied to timeframes and what have you, understandably. Now, when that submission was put in, consultation also went out to our community, and there was very, very wide and intense consultation, and particularly around Redwood Park,
yep.
which is where there's ecological significance and what have you.
Koala habitats and so forth, yes.
Very rare species and bird life and what have you. And the Friends of Escarpment Park really led a community charge to say, look, council, we need to secure this, make sure it's right for the future, 100 years' time and what have you. Submission came into council and council listened. That's our job. We need to do that. We need to listen to it. So there were mountain bike trails going through Redwood Park. There is still currently, there's a mountain bike that goes north-south along there to get through there to Jubilee Park. But this was an extensive area of trails. Council listened to that, and in June of 2022, so nearly a couple of years ago, council made the decision to remove that extensive trail out of Redwood Park, and therefore the scope of works was changed. We then needed to start to think about what would happen, where it could go to meet that level of kilometres of trails. Council has $700,000 in this current budget that we're working on to look at that and see where that can actually work in our capital program. So things are progressing. But again, when the community spoke and we said, right, well, let's cool our heels here, the challenge was we had a funding grant that was in, that expired, that funding grant doesn't exist anymore, and thankfully the federal member of Groom made contact with me, it was November last year, to encourage us to apply for the first round of Growing Regions Fund. We applied for that as a council, that was unsuccessful.
Okay,
so therefore we continue pushing on as a local government, making sure that we're aware of all of our other priorities. We've got $700,000 in the budget now. It's progressing where it needs to be. But again, mountain biking, as well as our beautiful escarpment environment, they all need to work together. So we need to be conscious of that. And therefore, the only thing we've missed is a time frame for the first round of funding that we had. And that was a legitimate reason because we listened to the community. That's what we need to do and that's what we've done. And therefore, it's still progressing. As I said earlier, we need to be an aspirational council. We need to be aspirational as a community, but we also need to be responsible, not only in our spending, but also our social and environmental fabric, and that's what we'll keep doing.
Strong traditions and bold ambitions remain the focus of the Toowoomba Regional Council. The Mayor, Jeff McDonald, thank you for clearing up those two big issues that have been very much doing the rounds of the news, and in particular social media, and this you've heard the facts. It's a minute to eight, Triple M.
Brilliant goal! Your favourite footy tipsters are back. The Smelly Boot on the Darling Downs Triple M.
Yeah, well, maybe not so much favourite if you happen to be back at the teams that we back. Given the start that we've had to the season, we say a very good morning to those tipsters. Gov, g'day, mate.
G'day, guys. I'm assuming the Butch is over the moon.
Oh, I've already had the phone call from him this morning.
Oh, of course they have.
Straight away to thank us for not tipping the Raiders solid. I actually didn't hear from you yesterday, so we put you on the Knights because both of us thought the Knights. So we thought maybe they would get home, and instead we put the curse on the Knights, which, dear, oh, dear, what a start that was. Paul Solid-Reedy, K&R Plumbing Supplies in the Western Clydesdales. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Well, we put the curse on the Broncos last week. Yep. We were able to stop them in Vegas.
We did that. Well, it's been a great start to round one. You're the only one with a point on the board so far after picking Manly in the first game. So we are off to an absolute shocker. We've got five games remaining. We're going to get straight into that. The first game, the Warriors, Go Media Stadium in New Zealand. Cronulla Sharks they take on. I was listening to the call team last night on Triple M, and one of the Sharkies saying, oh, we're quietly confident for this year. I don't know. I'm not so confident. The Warriors are being tipped as a top four side. How do you think they'll go, Gov?
Yeah, look, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck returns. He's going to play in the centres, I see. It was a great clash in the halves. I think Johnson versus Nicho Hynes, that's going to probably be an absolute cracker for this game over in New Zealand. First season with the Warriors, Capewell, I think his experience might just be enough to give the Warriors a chance to win this one.
I'm on the Warriors. Solid.
Yeah, well, it looks like the curse could be alive. I'm going to go with the Warriors as well.
God.
I like him there. I like two of us, a Sheck back in the side as well. So I'm going to go with the Warriors to be too good for the Sharkies.
All right. Well, we won't be taking the show to Auckland anytime soon. I'll give you the whisper. Then we go to Amy Park, 7 o'clock Friday night. Not too often, starting a season, I'm pretty sure that Bellamy has had something like a 16 in a row or something first round success rate. And coming up against the Penrith Panthers, they are absolute outsiders at the moment. What do you reckon, Salad? Do we load up or do we give it to the Salvos?
No, I'm going to go with the Panthers. I think after losing the World Cup Challenge, they're going to be sporting to get off.
Yep.
I see Munster's out for the Storm, so the Panthers too strong.
Panthers for me too, particularly with Munster. Gov?
Yeah, I don't often say this, but I totally agree with Solid. I'm on the Panthers, so they're in trouble.
All right, then what about this? Traditional clash from back in the 80s and at CommBank Stadium, we will see, and Gov, this is the one we love. This is the one we love. It's the Parramatta Eels and then the Canterbury Bulldogs. He's got the association with the Clydesdales. He's got the love of the Eels for a lifetime. You know where my heart is, Gov, anywhere that you two blokes tip. So I'll just wait and see what you're doing. Gov, what do you reckon? Bulldogs or the Eels?
Yeah, look, there's plenty of new faces at the Dogs. Taff at fullback, Crichton in the centres, Hutchison at halfback, and you've got Mann and Curran on the bench. It's going to be interesting to see how they actually combine together. I'm going to go Eels in a tough one. And I can't wait for Solids.
Yeah, oh, this will be great. What, you go in the draw? What's happening?
Oh, it will be like Origin. You know, the fever around this game will be Origin.
Oh,
you know,
mate.
The blockbuster round. Fancy starting it in the first round. But look, I'll go with the Eels, I think, over the Bulldogs. Only just, you know, because I'm Solid. I stick with my Eels week in, week out.
Well, I'll give you the whisper. He hasn't tipped against them in 2024.
I did in the trial the other week.
Couple more games to have a look at. It is the Smelly Boot back for 2024. And we move on to the last two games of this round. Cbus Super Stadium. Red hot favourites, Gold Coast Titans, up against Gov's beloved Big Red V. I'm on the Titans. I'm assuming, Solid, you are too?
Oh, of course. You know, I'd like to tip the ones we've had an association with. I think they'll be a little bit too strong. I think it'll be a little bit closer than what the bookie suggests, but I'm going to go with the Titans over the Dragons.
Well, just like the Eels, he certainly hasn't tipped against the Titans this season. So very good. Off to a great start. Gov, can the Dragons win?
Yeah, well, look, Dolby boy, Bo Firm is back after 1 year of layoff for the Titans, so I hope he goes ordinary in this game. AJ Brimson, he's playing in the centres. Look, the Dragons trimmed off the kilos and beefed up their defence in the off-season, so I think they should be good enough to get away at this one.
Okay, and then the final game, it is Queensland Clash. The Dolphins at home, if you like, at Suncorp Stadium up against North Queensland Cowboys. But it's the Cowboys who go in favourites. Do you agree with that, Gov?
Yeah, look, I think so. This should be a cracker. Two big forward packs are going to rip into each other. Two fullbacks, exciting fullbacks, Tabuai Fadal and also Drinkwater. But I think it might be one in the halves, and I'm going to lean towards the Cows for that.
Yeah, I'm on the Cowboys. What do you reckon, Solid?
Yeah, well, here comes the kiss of death for the Cowboys. I'm going to go with them as well, mate. I think they'll be too good for the Dolphins, but it will be a good game, and it's great to see a couple of Queenslanders having a clash there. So I'll go with the Cowboys as well,
truth,
mate.
All right, we'll just get back on the plane there if I were you boys. And then tomorrow it is first round Host Plus Cup and BMD Premiership. Solid, it's going to be a big day out there at Clyde Berghofer.
Yeah, actually, four games. So the under-19 ladies kick off first at quarter to 11, and then we move into the BMD ladies, where you'll see all them Australian stars mixed in with the fantastic local talent we produce, along with the Host Plus Cup, both them playing against the Capras. And then we're going to finish off with the under-19 boys, the Melmaninga Cup side, and they'll be taking on the White Bay Bulls. So look forward to a number of the teams winning there tomorrow at Clyde Berghofer Stadium.
Can't wait for that. Going to be a massive day, and we will do this again next Friday. Thank you, boys.